Hey everybody, my name is Don, compulsive eater, food addict. I stumbled into OA at age 41 as an atheist and grossly obese and suicidal. I was at a bottom in my life. This was the last stop on the bus. I'd been to the bridge, ready to check out, but I didn't. A month later, a month from when I walked off that bridge, I found my way into an OA meeting. So I'm still here, never left, abstinent for about 4 decades now, maintaining a close to 200-pound weight loss now for about 40 years. OA saved my life, not an exaggeration, and it continues to give me a life of usefulness. At 85, which is what I am now, or about to be, actually, it's 30 days from now, I'll be 85. There's nothing better than to still be useful. And that's what I'm doing. You can get a lot more of my story in the Overeaters Anonymous third edition. It's called Freedom Isn't Free. She was also mentioning my blog that's out there, and there's a book out there too, which I don't think I'm supposed to name here or anything, but it's out there. So I've been here 43 years. I've given service from the beginning. There was no choice in those days for me. But since my retirement in 97, passing it on has been a full-time job for me. I retired from one job and I went into another job called OA service. I've done service at all levels, including lots of work on our literature. But what I feel the best about is all the people that I've guided through the steps, either in the 40 weekend step studies that I've led, or the 16, 15-week step studies I've done, or the 5 or 6 one-day step studies. And of course, many, many, many one-on-one sponsees through the steps. What I've been doing since 97 when I retired is to be primarily a step sponsor. That seems to be my long suit, and it seems to be the best thing that I can do with the years that I have. So I help a newcomer or a retread get abstinent, take them through the steps one-on-one. Then I let them move on to a new sponsor while I take on the next person. I usually do 3 or 4 at a time. I'm just finishing up two guys now. Transfers from other programs. I get a lot of that. People who have changed chairs on the Titanic and come over to our program, put down one substance, pick up another. So I'm just finishing up a couple of guys right now. It's taken us about a year to go through the way I do it. So working the 12 steps and using the 9 tools, starting with the right plan of eating, restores us to sanity. Period. Everything else is about that process. Sponsoring is simply passing it on. That's our only purpose. Tradition 5, as was referenced a while ago. That's why we're here, right? Our only purpose is to help other compulsive eaters. If I'm abstinent and working the steps, I have a lot of hope to pass on to a newcomer. I don't need to have years of abstinence and years of experience. I simply need to share my experience, strength, and hope up to wherever I am in recovery. I still say, as we said many, many years ago, 30 days of abstinence, finish the first 3 steps, working on the fourth step, congratulations, you're a sponsor. We had a candlelight step-up ceremony in those days, introduced people as new sponsors and presented them with coins. Thereafter, they would always introduce themselves at every meeting as sponsors. This demonstrated to people that the program works. In the same way, identifying and celebrating abstinence today gives hope to the newcomer or still suffering in our rooms. So abstinence and sponsorship need to be enthusiastically celebrated in meetings. What I'm going to share with you today, tonight, I guess it is for me anyway, is part one of a sponsored training workshop that I've been doing for a lot of years. It's an easy process for a sponsor, especially a new sponsor, to help a newcomer, right? What I'm going to do is talk to you about helping a newcomer understand the disease, to develop a plan of eating, 3, get abstinent, and 4, go through the first 3 steps. So that's part one of the training thing. And that's what I'm going to run through quickly. It usually takes more than 20 minutes, but I'm going to try to condense it into that 20 minutes. This process gives the newcomer or the returnee a solid foundation. Keep that word in mind, solid foundation on which to get into the real work, which is in 4 to 9. They put down the food first, And then they get the power to keep it down from the rest of the steps. So my process is based on two assumptions. One, that laying out a simple process for starting a newcomer will help more people step up as sponsors, even if they're afraid they're not good enough or simply don't know where to start. Secondly, that will improve newcomer retention if we more quickly and systematically educate them on the nature of the disease, how to begin addressing the problem, and get them through the first three steps quickly, thus giving them a good foundation. One of the reasons I kept coming back in the beginning, 43 years ago, was that they explained the fundamentals of the addiction to me quickly, and I got it. And I said, okay, I do have a disease here. And then I worked from there. Oh, I wasn't perfect, but that was the foundation. So let's start at the meetup. I'm going to go fundamentals here as if you're never sponsored. So you're talking to a newcomer, Bill, after the meeting. You need to establish some credibility and get him to identify with you by talking about your own history and recovery. Remember, people learn nothing about OA if they're doing all the talking. It's hope that brings newcomers back, and your words over the next 2 minutes or so, 2, 3 minutes, may be the reason for that hope to that guy named Bill across from me. Hi, Bill. I'm Don. Nice to meet you. Welcome to OA. Before I ask you why you're here today, let me briefly tell you why I'm here. And I give him a couple of minutes of my story that includes the food behavior that brought me to OA and where I am in recovery now today, including abstinence and weight. My elevator speech might sound something like this. Bill, I've been in OA for many years. My adult life before OA was always up and down on the scales, with each one being higher than the last. I fought the food every day, felt ashamed that I couldn't stop. Oh, I stopped a lot of times, but I couldn't keep from starting again. It affected my wife, my kids, my work, my social life. I was ashamed to go out. I had closets full of clothes of different sizes. I was pre-diabetic, had high blood pressure, cholesterol off the chart. A doctor once told me I could have a stroke at any time and likely would never reach 50. After trying everything, I finally found my way into OA when I was 41 years old. I didn't understand it, but people in the meetings told stories about what their life was like before OA and what they were like now. I couldn't believe it. Their description of their former self was a perfect description of my current self. It was those stories that inspired me to keep coming, even if I didn't understand it, and start working this 12-step program, which eventually saved my life. Not just saved, but it gave me a new life. You know, I lost 185, 190 pounds or so over the years, and over the first 3 years, actually, and have kept that off for a long time. I'm no longer a slave to the junk food that held me prisoner for so long. Why am I still here, Bill? Well, I'm here to be helpful if I can to people who still suffer from this problem. I found a solution to a problem that almost killed me. How can I not want to help others with the same problem? Trying to help others, believe it or not, Bill, actually helps me hold on to this miracle that I have. So if his head is nodding during this 2 to 3 minutes, you're telling him that you're talking, he's identifying. And that's what I want. After finishing this quick little bio, I ask him, well, Bill, what brought you to OA? And could you identify with anything I just said about myself? Then you let him talk, 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 and ask all the questions that he wants, with me doing the best I can to answer him. Toward the end of that conversation, I may be ready to say something like this. So, Bill, what do you think? If you think you want to explore this thing, I'd be happy to work with you over the next few weeks to help you better understand this food issue, to help you decide if you think you have this disease or some form of it, and I'll talk about disease and what that is, to help you understand OA's 12-step process, and to help you decide whether OA is something you really want to do, or maybe it's not. You know, OA isn't for everyone. Maybe it's not for you. If he says yes, then I explain the process, I set expectations, and I give him his first assignment. Okay, Bill, let me explain how I work this thing. The process would be for us to just talk every day for a couple of weeks. We'll schedule whatever time is convenient for both of us. Timeliness will be important since I have other scheduled calls. Honesty is also important, Bill. There's not all that's not always easy, I know. But without it, this will be a total waste of both of our times. You have the pamphlet, Where Do I Start? That's going to be like a little textbook for the next few days. I'll ask you to read certain sections of the pamphlet, highlight what's important to you, and then we'll talk about it on our daily scheduled calls. What we'll do over the next several days is study the nature of this problem that you have. Midway through the process, you'll understand why we call it a disease. You'll have identified what may be some specific problem foods for you. You'll set up for yourself a preliminary new plan of eating, not a diet, but a potential new way of eating, a new normal, I call it. After following that plan for a while, you'll be ready to start the first three steps of this 12-step process. You, of course, can stop anytime, but hopefully you'll decide you owe it to yourself to find out as much as you can about your food issue and a way to arrest it. So, his first day's assignment, I ask him to go to oahelps.org and watch the 8-minute OA newcomers video. It's a video I did many, many, many years ago, which explains the addiction cycle, talks about the nature of the disease, defines compulsion, obsession, etc. I also have him write down his answers to the 15 questions on page 1 and 2 of the Where Do I Start pamphlet. On that first call, we go through the 15 questions slowly and carefully. Don't let him answer a simple yes. Ask him to expand on it. There's no hurry. This is a focused self-assessment of whether he has the disease. It's not up to me. It's up to him to decide whether or not he has this. He may not. Or he might be in the early stages of this progressive disease, or he may already be a prisoner of the disease. He may, or anywhere in between. He's likely to answer yes to lots of questions. The pamphlet concludes on page 2. If you have answered yes to several of these questions, it's possible that you have or are well on your way to having a compulsive or overeating problem. Quote. Now, we continue through the Where Do I Start pamphlet. I'm asking him to read You Are Not Alone and Many Symptoms, One Solution sections and be ready to discuss these with me at the next call. Important fundamental concepts in these two sections. Food is hurting our life in many ways. We are ashamed of our behavior with food. We're not like normal people when it comes to eating, and that our bodies and minds send us signals about food quite different from normal eaters. And many of us can't stop after starting to eat certain foods. And even when we eventually stop, we can't stop ourselves from starting again later. We have a condition of mind and body. We call it an illness for which OA offers a solution. We have found a way to abstain from our compulsive behaviors related to food, diets, weight, exercise, and body image. As you go through the pamphlet, you'll listen to what they think the paragraph means to them, and then you share your own experience. You know, this is a little bit like a teaching seminar, right? He's sharing his ideas, you share your experience, back and forth, back and forth. In this process of reading and talking, you're helping them learn the true nature of the disease, and that's what we're after. This is the foundation for everything that comes after. How many people are chronic relapsers because they never fully accept that they have the disease? Step one. This understanding of the disease will inspire action. Believe it or not, coming to accept that I am powerless empowers me to take action. In a sense, once they truly understand the disease, the solution becomes obvious, and that's what we're after here, helping them truly understand what it is that they have. The only issue becomes where to get the power. Well, that comes later. The next section in the book defines abstinence, summarizes the 9 tools. Go through these, explain how you use them. Encourage him for right now to use some of them, especially meetings, preferably face to face if possible. The more meetings, the better. He'll hear and he'll see and he'll meet recovery, even if he doesn't quite know what's going on or what it is. The next sections begins the in-depth discussion of plans of eating. Key concepts here: a plan of eating is not a diet. Nothing to do with diets. It's a new way of eating according to our physical needs rather than our emotional cravings. We're not like normal eaters who stop when they're full and do not hide food, nor do they feel guilt and shame about their eating. Our problem is not weakness, or willpower. We have a disease over which willpower, good intentions, and resolutions are useless. The next section is about developing a plan of eating, the beginning of concrete actions by the newcomer. Key concepts covered. We have to develop a sensible plan of eating in advance. This plan separates, I like the word divorces. The plan of eating divorces my eating from my emotions. The plan needs to state what, where, when, and how much. We're more likely to stick to our plan if we commit it daily to a sponsor. The next section, Dignity of Choice, begins the discussion on thoroughly reviewing our eating patterns in order to learn which foods or eating behaviors create cravings for us. We find it best, it says, to list and then remove all the foods or ingredients and behaviors which causes problems. And then the next sections get into choosing specific foods to refrain from, choosing eating behaviors to refrain from, gives a whole bunch of examples in there, trigger food examples, a lot of specifics, but it's heavily sugar, heavily fats, heavily refined carbs, behavior examples in there, eating until completely stuffed, rapidly restricting calories. At this point, I ask newcomers to construct a three-column list of every food, beverage, and condiment they eat. Remember now, we're several days into this process. We have talked about the definitions of disease and obsession and compulsion. They've been introduced to the trigger food idea with complete examples. They have a huge amount of information in their head they did not have a week ago or so when they walked in. They have an understanding of our disease. They're ready to get honest with themselves. Your job will be to review this list with them and help them start working on a food plan that includes exactly what they do not eat and what they eat. In the interest of time, I'm not going to go through those three columns here tonight. Let's say they come out of that and they have these three columns of trigger foods,
That's 3 minutes.
total green light foods, and then there's things in the middle, right? Things in the middle is sometimes yes, sometimes no. Well, using these three columns, I help them develop a food plan. Ultimately, it's up to them. We agree on the plan of eating. They begin to follow it. They call it in every day or text it every day or what it is. But remember, this is their plan. They own it. They were not given a plan. It's not a diet. They're working toward a new normal that's right for them. You, of course, share your experience, but the final choice is up to them. Remember, it will undoubtedly get adjusted along the way. It's a good idea at this point if the newcomer commits their plan to you each day. Commitment increases probability of success. It's also a good idea for now if they weigh and measure in order to learn the portions that will eventually get them to a healthy body weight. Encourage them to go to meetings, begin making phone calls, start counting days at this point, right? And this is essentially equivalent to the detox in AA. We're getting abstinent day by day, and the brain is clearing, and that's what we're after here, is clearing the brain so we can get into the real stuff, into the steps. After a couple of weeks of committing their food to you, following their plan of eating, including eliminating trigger foods and going to meetings, you start them on the steps. You continue daily calls and committing of food for now, in any event. Time is running out, so let me just say, it's several weeks later. You've gone through the pamphlet. They've been following the their plan. We have been working through the steps. We've finished the first three steps. We have built the floor of the new house they're going to construct. Right? 1, 2, and 3 are the foundation. 4 through 9 are the walls, and 10, 11, and 12 are the roof. The first three prepare them to get well, and that's what I've talked about tonight, preparing them. And 4 to 9 are the change steps that get them well. And of course, 10, 11, and 12 keep them well. So my objective is to help people get a solid foundation so they are ready and inspired to do the real work in 4 to 9. This process does that by first helping them understand the nature of the disease. Then they understand the reasons why they need to get honest with food and develop a new way of eating, a new normal, not a diet. Learn the right foods in the right amounts in a structured way. So they've put their food plan together. They have, not me. They own it. Ownership and responsibility are key, as I said before. They're taking responsibility for themselves rather than blaming the rest of the world for their problem. When the food plan is constructed this way, they own it. They have begun the process of rebuilding their lives. And I'll close with that sentence.